So good to see everyone. Bear with me with my accent. Now that's bad. I never knew I had an accent until I moved to West Virginia. Lived in North Carolina all my life, foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and me and Sandy, Lord brought us here back in the fall, and we went to Walmart one day. And was asking for something, you know, didn't know where it was at. And that man said, "You ain't from here, are you?" You know, now that's bad when you go to Walmart. Only in West Virginia is all I can say. But I'm so glad to be here. I'd have never imagined that God would have brought me to this place. And I'm so glad he did. Yeah. So glad. So glad. He orders and directs our steps.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's just like us being here today. It's no accident. It's all arranged by him.
Amen.
For his own purpose, for his own glory,
yeah,
and by his grace for our good.
Yeah.
If you would, today I want us to be looking in the book of Genesis chapter 24. He told me to take all the time I want. He may regret that because I want us to look at all these verses, and there's 67 verses. That's a pretty good chunk.
We have to pause and eat, and then you can do some more.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. If you've ever read it, and if you haven't, I'll read it to you today. But in this, before I begin reading, and I'm going to look at every verse, and I may not comment on every verse, but here in this chapter we have this beautiful picture, and it's a beautiful picture. We have Abraham. Sarah's dead now, and it says he was an old man. He has one son, Isaac, and only one son, Isaac, the promised son, the one that God gave him. God raised him up, and he wants to seek a bride for his son Isaac. And what he does, he calls his servant. Now, in this chapter, the servant's name's not mentioned, but you can find out who it is in Genesis 15. It was Eliezer. And he sends him on purpose to go get a bride for his son Isaac. This is a picture of Abraham being God the Father and Isaac being God the Son. And then God sending out his servant, empowered by the Spirit of God, to go find his sheep, his bride, and his elect. And he goes and he finds her. And he not only finds her, he brings her all the way to Isaac. Now that's a beautiful story. That's a true story. And that's what's in this chapter. So let's begin reading. In verse 1, and before I say this, before I begin reading, Abraham could have went down on his own and got a bride, but he didn't. God has ordained the use of means in the salvation of his people. He's ordained it. Now, we know God chose the people before the world was ever made. God elected them, put them in Christ. Our Lord had to redeem them. And the Spirit of God has to call them that the Father chose and the Son redeemed. He has to bring them. And he'll use means. He's sovereign. Yeah, he'll save them according to his means. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, and that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Here Abraham is sending his servant into the world for a specific purpose. And that purpose was to take a wife. He tells him exactly what to do. This servant, it says, the servant, his eldest servant. This means a bond slave, a willing, loving bond slave. That's when Paul said, I am the servant. That's what he meant. He served God. He worshiped God. And his desire was to do what? To serve Abraham. And a bond slave's desire is to serve the master. Willingly, lovingly. And all God's preachers are bond slaves of Jesus Christ. He won them. He bought them. And their heart's desire is to do his will. Abraham was a wealthy man, and Isaac was the heir of everything. Abraham sent his servant to find the bride among his people, a bride who would share with Isaac in all of his riches and in all of his glory. What an honorable service this servant had to serve his master and to go find this bride. To go find her. How can a man preach except he be sent?
Yeah,
that's it. Sent on purpose.
Exactly.
On purpose. Listen, nothing was more important to Abraham's heart than Isaac. And there was nothing more important to that servant than the master's heart and doing his will. The servant recognized this awesome. You imagine this awesome responsibility that's laid upon him by Abraham. And the heavy burden that he had upon his heart to go find this bride. How's he going to find her? How's he going to find her? Who is sufficient for these things? Isaac is a picture of our Lord. He had been offered as the sacrifice upon the mount. Remember the story. And he is a figure raised from the dead. Isaac was everything. Everything to Abraham.
Right.
Everything.
Yes, sir.
This is my beloved son.
Yeah.
In whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
It's all wrapped up in Christ.
Amen.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Verse 5. Verse 8. And the servant said unto him, now he has some questions.
Sure.
And we do have questions. How are we going to find her? And when we do find her, what if she won't come?
Yeah. Right. Sure.
Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? They never saw Abraham. They never saw Isaac, never heard of him. And how is this person, when he finds her, going to want to leave her father and her mother and everything and go meet somebody that she's never saw? How's that going to happen? That's why he asked this question. What if she won't be willing to follow me? Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, he notices, he says this twice. Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from hence. And if the woman will be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this thine oath. Here again, only bring not my son thither again. He's telling this servant that if he won't come, that he cannot take Isaac to where she's at.
Right.
You cannot compromise.
Right. Yeah.
This is what the world wants to do.
Faith
comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whom having not seen, you love. You've never saw him. There's not a person in this place who has saw God or the Lord Jesus Christ with human eyes, but yet you believe. How do you believe? Faith's the gift of God. But if they won't believe, the world says, well, let's bring Christ down to where they're at. That's exactly right. He tells him twice, whatever you do,
there you go.
You're not to take him to where she's at.
There you go. That's right.
You cannot. If what if she won't come? There's something more important than her coming.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's the honor of God and the honor of Isaac.
Amen.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Amen. If nobody ever believes, right. If nobody's ever made willing,
yeah.
He said, you're relieved of the oath.
There you go.
God never called any preacher to save anybody. It ain't his job. But it's to tell them who Abraham is and who Isaac is. And leave it in God. He said, I'll send my angel before you. You don't have anything to worry about. And you do not have to compromise the gospel. If you compromise the gospel, it ceases to be the gospel. It's not the gospel. That's exactly right. It's that clear. And it's that plain.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes.
He tells him the certainty. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. She's going to come. He's going to have a bride. And she's coming. She's going to be willing. My word shall not return to me void.
Yeah.
We get discouraged when we don't see results.
Sure we do.
That's in God's hands.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
We've been trying to preach on the radio for the last month. We've been looking at Noah. How would you like to preach like Noah for 120 years?
That's a long time.
How many came in that ark?
Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Eight souls. The animals had more sense than the humans did.
Yeah.
Didn't they? I mean,
yeah.
God brought them in.
Yeah.
And they came in.
They came in, yeah.
Others would not come. As we go into this world to preach the gospel and witness for our Lord, we need to be reminded that we're not alone.
Yeah.
My angel will go before you.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will quicken whom he will. And he'll bring her.
Amen.
He'll say, live, and you'll live.
Yeah,
she's coming. If he ever makes you willing, you're coming.
Amen.
You ever see his irresistible grace? I remember the first time I heard that word, irresistible grace. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's irresistible.
Yeah.
You can't resist it.
Amen.
By nature, you resist it. By nature, you're not coming. You don't want to come. You're not going to leave the security of your family. You're not going to leave the security of religion.
But
if you ever see him, oh, you'll leave it. And listen, you can mark this down as a matter of fact. If God has ever called a man to preach his gospel, God will supply that man's needs. God will protect him and preserve him in his work. God will order his steps, and God will crown his labor with success.
Amen.
And that man who knows that he is sin of God will endure all things for God's elect's sake.
Yeah.
Is that what Paul said? I think it's in 2 Corinthians. I can't remember the chapter. You need to go back and read it sometime where it lists of everything Paul went through. He said, I was stoned. I was a night and a day in the deep. I was shipwrecked and I was beaten and all these things. Why? I endure all things for the elect's sake.
Yeah.
This servant's going to have to go through a desert. We don't know how long it took him to find that woman.
Right.
To endure. Endure. And all God's preachers will.
Amen.
They'll endure it. You know what he told Peter after Peter denied him? He said, Peter, if you love me, you feed my sheep. The servant was strictly forbidden to make any compromise.
Yeah.
If she won't come, we dare not bring Christ down to men. Suppose for a moment that the servant was to compromise and bring Isaac down to Rebecca. What would this do? That would make Rebecca more important than Isaac. And that's where we're at today in religion. You're so important. God loves everybody. There's just a little good in you. God just wants to save everybody. Why won't somebody just let him? He's the important one.
Amen.
Amen.
This book describes us as worms and maggots.
Exactly.
That don't sound too important.
No.
If he did bring Isaac down, that would be a vital denial of God's covenant, God's promise, and God's power.
There you go.
Yeah. His hands are not tied.
Right.
You know why we're still here? Do you know why we're even still here upon this earth? God has a people he's going to save.
Right. Yeah.
And when he saved the last one, we're gone.
Yeah.
Judgment's going to fall on Sodom just like it did when God brought Lot out. He drug him out.
Yeah.
Who did? He did.
That's right.
By his power.
Yeah, that's right.
Power.
Yeah.
Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. If he'd have brought Isaac down to Rebekah, he would have never had Rebekah's heart. If she's not willing to give up everything for him. Now that's where it's at. This is where the rub's at. Our Lord said, if you love your father and your mother, your house or whatever it is, or your own life, if you love anything more than him, you cannot be his disciple. It cannot be. It can't be.
Go ahead, brother. That's right.
It can't be. If Isaac were willing to come down to Rebekah, she'd have been better off without him. And he'd been better off without her. We don't have to compromise. We preach, we proclaim his gospel, and we leave it in God's hands. And God works. God works. Verse 10. So the servant leaves, and he takes 10 camels, of the camels of his master, and he departed, for the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose, and he went to Mesopotamia, and to the city of Nahor. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. At the time of the evening, when the time of that women were to come out to draw water. How's he going to know where to go? How's he going to know where to find her? You notice how many times in the scriptures that he meets his people at a well. He met the woman of Samaria. I think it was Moses came to the well. Mm-hmm. Jacob came to the well, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
God will bring you to the well.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
He says, I'm going to go to the well where women will come.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who she is, but I'm going to put my place where she's going to be. Evening time that women go out to draw water. And he said, what's this? O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thy send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to the pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, now watch this, let down thy pitcher. I pray that I may drink, that she shall say, drink, and I shall give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto thy master. He asked God to direct him. And he did ask for a sign. He said that when she comes, and I'm going to go up to her and ask if she'd give me water. That she not only gives me water, she waters all those camels. You know how much water a camel will drink?
Yeah.
10 camels? What's the odds of her doing this?
There you go.
But this is what he prayed. He says, I don't know, and we don't know. We don't know who God's people are. You know what? We'll always pick the wrong one. We'd pick the tire every time over the wheat, wouldn't we? The very one that we think, boy, that's the one God's going to show mercy. He may pass them by. We're just like Samuel when he came to Jesse's house. When that firstborn came, oh, boy, this is the man. God said, you look on the outside. God said, I look on the heart. But he's showing his dependence on God. Lead me and show me who she is. We'll look in verse 15. And it came to pass.
Yeah.
And it always does.
Amen. Yeah.
Before he had done speaking.
Yeah.
Isn't that humbling?
Yeah.
We don't know who she is. We don't know. And here she comes.
There she comes.
I can just see her coming over the hill. Before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. Who was born of Bethuel, son of Maacah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her head and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." Can you imagine what he thought?
Yeah.
He never told her anything.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Probably about 200 or 250 gallons of water. You ever drew water out of a well? That's hard work.
Yeah.
Guess what she did. And look what he said, verse 21. And the man wondered at her, and he held his peace.
Amen.
If you ever just stood back and just wondered in amazement, maybe she's the one.
Yeah.
And we hold our peace.
Yeah.
You know what religion would have said? Let's strike while the iron's hot. Boy, this is her. Let's get it all fixed up now. I'll help you draw the water.
Sure, that's what they do.
Yeah, isn't that right?
That's right. That's what they do. Yeah.
Aren't you glad God delivered us from that?
Yeah. Amen.
He always shows us all through this book, he's the one that does the work.
Amen.
He didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
But God did.
Yeah.
Amen.
God's been working on her heart.
Yeah.
Don't you see this? What's in her mind? That's on her mind is going to the well, getting water.
Sure.
She has no idea that she's going to meet somebody there. Just like a sinner coming to the house of God. Oh, they're coming. They just think they're going. Just going, just going. Just like they've always went. But oh, this day's different. God crosses her path.
Yeah. Amen.
God met her at the well.
Yeah.
He met her at the well. And he wondered at her, and he held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the damsels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel's weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weights of gold. Where did this servant get these things? These are Abraham's.
That's right.
These are tokens of his grace.
Yeah.
Tokens of his mercy.
Yeah.
Now this would mean a lot to women, earrings and bracelets. Oh. You know what he does? You know what God does? He wins your heart.
Yes, he does.
Yes, sir.
Then yes, he does.
He woos you.
Yes, he does.
He wins your heart.
Yeah.
Wins you.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's not saying anything. He just pulls these tokens out and he gives them to her. And said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in my father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Maacah, which bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left desolate my master of his mercy and of his truth." Watch this. "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren."
Amen.
And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. She's running back to the house. Don't you see? She still has no idea. She has no idea who he is and why he's come.
Right.
This is how God works.
That's how he works.
Yeah.
Great is the mystery of godliness.
Yes, sir.
This thing of salvation it's a mystery.
Yeah.
A mystery. A mystery. He waited upon God. He followed God's directions. He said, "You led me in the way."
Yeah.
We don't know the way. There's a way which seems right unto a man, which the end thereof is the way of death. Verse 29. Here comes this servant now to the Rebekah's house. Don't you see some things here? If he's not careful, it'd be awful easy for him to get sidetracked and get off on something else. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. If you've ever read much of the scriptures, you know about Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass when Laban, saw the earrings and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me, that came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well." And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for thy camels." He's hoping he's going to get something. Laban was an idolater. Remember when they left and Jacob came, worked for him for all those years, and he left, and then Rachel stole his gods. And she said, "Why have you stole my idols, my gods?" That's how people are with religion. They can be affected sometimes by the gospel, and they're just wanting what they can get out of it.
Sure,
they're not interested in honoring him.
Yeah, there you go.
Verse 32, "And the man came into the house, and he girded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels to water, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat." They're asking him, "Okay, you can sit down and eat." And see, they've taken care of his camels and his servants and everything. But he's not told his errand. He said, "I will not eat. I will not eat till I've told my errand." He's not interested in what's comfort to him. His master sent him not to have an easy life, but he's on an errand. And he's not told his errand. One of the greatest things I ever heard, and it really spoke to my heart. I don't know if any of y'all know Walter and Betty Groover. They've been missionaries to Mexico for years. I think it was Henry or somebody seen Walter one day, and he asked him after Walter had been there for years in Mexico. He said, "Walter," said, "are you happy?" And Walter said, "My happiness has nothing to do with it. I'm here to tell mine errand." So now we have his message. Now I want you to picture this. Here's Laban, Rebekah's mother, and Rebekah probably standing over here in the corner somewhere playing with her bracelets. And here stands his servant. And everybody's going to find out why he came. This is his errand. He said, "I am Abraham's servant." And don't you see in this sermon, I think it's verses 33 down through verse 41 or 44, it's not anything about him.
Right.
That's it.
It's about Abraham.
Yep.
It's about Isaac.
Right.
And what he's purposed to do. That's the gospel. You know, the gospel is you're just finding out what God's already done.
There you go.
Amen. It's done.
Right.
Isn't that the good news? Not what you're going to do, what you can do, or not what God might do. It's what God's already done.
Amen.
Right.
It's finished. It's done. The great transaction's done.
Yeah.
I need to say that again. It's done. D-O-N-E, done. Now that's rest.
Yeah, that's rest.
"And the Lord," verse 35, "hath blessed my master greatly." He's not some poor little beggar. "And he has become grace, and he hath given him flocks and herbs and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, when she was past the age of having children. And unto him," now you might want to underline this, "and unto him hath he given all that he hath."
Right.
Everything Abraham has, everything that God the Father has, he is given to sinners in Christ.
Sure.
Outside of Christ, there's nothing but the wrath of God.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Old Ralph Barnard used to say, "God put all his eggs in one basket."
That's right.
Everything. Everything. Okay. Mercy, peace, right. Rest, forgiveness, reconciliation, everything. It's in Christ.
Right.
Everything that Abraham has, he's given to Isaac.
Yeah.
Isaac is the heir.
Yeah.
Not Ishmael. No. Isaac. And my master hath made me swear, saying that thou shalt not take a wife to my son, unto the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. Isn't exactly what he said, what him and Abraham talked about? Perhaps she won't follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and thou shalt shall prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife of my son, for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then thou shalt be clear from this thine oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give the, and they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from that my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou dost prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And I shall come, and it shall come to pass when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And then she say to me, both drink also, and I will also draw water for thy camels. Let the same be the woman which the Lord hath appointed for my master's son. And Rebekah said, I had no idea what I was doing. Now she finds it out. This is how God does to a sinner. God reveals it to you, and you find out. I didn't have no idea.
Yeah, that's it. That's right.
That's exactly it.
He brought me to the well.
Yeah.
He put it in my heart to water all those camels.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And she finds out about it.
Exactly.
And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thee camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Micah bare unto him. And I put the earring in her face and the bracelets upon her hand. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, now watch this. The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee but bad or good. Reminds me of Balaam's ass. He may speak the truth, but he's still an ass.
That's what I mean.
Who was it? Caiaphas said, it's not expedient for the whole nation to die, but that one should die for the whole nation, and didn't know God. Here Laban speaks the truth,
right,
and still doesn't know God.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because he can't speak nothing against what God's done.
Right. That's exactly right.
God's done this.
Right.
Only God could do this. The wrath of men will praise him, and the remainder of wrath he'll restrain. He'll use it for his glory.
Amen.
The servant here, he said, I've got to tell mine errand. He must not be sidetracked. Something is more important than our own comfort. Now, I don't say this just to me, being a preacher of the gospel, or to this man or any other preacher. I say that to everybody here.
Right.
There's something more important in this world than your comfort.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. God has made every child of God a witness. He sent that
right.
Samaritan woman back into that town,
right.
And she told him what the Lord had done for
right.
her.
Amen. That's right.
In this world of pleasing and pampering the flesh, and the people have they're seeking for all pleasures and everything else, you seek his honor. You seek his glory. Do not, under any circumstances, be sidetracked.
Right. Yeah. Right, brother.
Everything in the world will try to sidetrack you. Say, well, it wouldn't happen to me. It'd happen to anybody.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If he wasn't careful, he could get sidetracked by money, fame, the world, or Satan. God help us to take heed.
Right, brother.
You don't know that person you work with, whoever it is, comes in your life, you have responsibility to those people.
Sure.
To tell them it's not about you, it's not to bring glory to you, it's to honor him.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't know what to say. If God's ever done something for you, you can tell him exactly what he's done for you. He's rich, he owns it all.
Yeah.
And is free.
Yeah.
And he has but one message. Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
That's what he shows here. He did not seek to attract attention to himself. He was sent to win her heart to Isaac. The bride must be attracted to the bridegroom, not the bridegroom's friend.
There you go.
That's it. Now listen to me. It's a tip. People look to preachers and I've seen preachers that I idolized, and I still look to them. But let me tell you this, they're still men.
Right.
The best of men are men at best.
Right. Exactly.
And God sometimes will just remind us of that.
That's right.
We're guilty. We're all guilty.
Yeah, we're all guilty. Yeah.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Yeah. God help us. Verse 52. It came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth.
Yeah.
And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, redemption, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. You know what he put on her? A robe of righteousness.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, look how she looks now.
Yeah.
You said, why didn't he bring this out before? He didn't do it out by the well.
Right.
He did it in her heart after he preached. He told his errand. Then he opens this book.
That's right, brother. That's the way it works.
And he reveals to you his silver,
yeah,
his gold, his raiment. What raiment? His raiment.
Yeah.
The prodigal son come home and he said, go get the best robe.
Yeah.
Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. And every time the gospel's preached, it's just a treasure chest.
Yeah.
It's being opened.
Yeah.
It's like the alabaster box, which gives such aroma.
Yeah. Yes.
And he gave also to her brothers and to her mother precious things. Kind of like Joseph being in Potiphar's house. They were blessed because she was there. Mm-hmm. His sins rain on the just and on the unjust. Mm-hmm. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him. And he tarried all the night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, now watch this. Let the damsel abide with us a few days, and at the least 10. After that, then she can go. And he said unto them, hinder me not. See what I said about sidetrack? Everything in the world will try to hinder you.
That's right.
Exactly.
Everything.
That's right.
Like a mother looking to her child, and maybe God's dealing with that child and say, well, you just don't want to do that. You just need to wait a little bit. One of Satan's biggest lies is procrastination.
Sure. Yeah.
Today, if you hear his voice,
yeah,
harden not your heart as in the provocation. Today, if you hear his voice,
yeah,
he may never speak to you again.
Right.
I say that with a broken heart.
Sure.
He don't have to speak to you one time.
Right.
He don't have to come to your heart any time.
Right.
He says, don't hinder me. Do not hinder me. Read the book of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah came back and they were building the walls around Jerusalem, everything in the world came and they wanted to stop that work and hinder the work.
Yeah.
And listen, if this is God's work here, everything in the world will try to hinder it.
Yeah.
Everything in the world will try to stop it.
Right.
And he said, don't you hinder me. What we're doing is serious business.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not playing games with men's souls.
That's right.
He said, don't hinder me.
Yeah.
I could see him look him square in the eye. Don't you hinder me.
Right.
Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way and send me away, that I may go to my master. I've come. I didn't come to stay here. I didn't come to spend the night. I come to get her.
Right. That's right.
And I'm not leaving without her. And I'm taking her with me. Don't hinder me. Don't hinder me. And they'll say, we'll call the damsel and we'll ask her. We'll just ask her, see what she wants to do. What does she think about the matter? And they called Rebekah, boy, she's good, and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I'll go.
Yeah.
In the face of her mother and her brother.
Right. Go ahead.
And she's going to leave her home. She's going to leave her comfort. And she's going to have to go across a desert.
Yeah.
She don't know how long to see a man she's never met.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
What would make her want to leave?
Yeah.
Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, esteeming the reproach of Christ
right.
greater riches.
Mm-hmm.
She saw something greater.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
If you ever see him with the eye of faith, he's altogether lovely.
Amen.
Somebody told an illustration one time. They said, you know how little kids go in a restaurant and they get them little bitty corn cobs, they just roll them in butter, and they just love to just chew on them. Well, this little boy, he was probably 2 or 3 years old. He had got one of them. And he had been sucking on that thing for 30 minutes. And they could not get him to turn it loose. They needed to leave. They needed to put his coat on. And he just won't turn it loose. He's just holding it. Butter's running down his cheeks. And the man of the restaurant, he walks up and he said, I think I got a solution to this. He walks up to the cash register. He picks up a Snickers bar. He walks up and shows it to that little boy. You know what the little boy did? He dropped that corn cob.
Yeah.
If you ever see Jesus Christ, you'll turn loose of every greasy corn cob
Amen.
Deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only reason you understand what I'm saying is you saw him.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Not with these eyes. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for you hear. I'll leave it all. It's nothing.
Sure.
If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, then you'll find it.
Right.
That's right.
That's what he said.
Amen.
And she said, I'll go.
Amen.
He didn't have to twist her arm.
No.
Salvation is a heart work.
Yeah.
We're carnally minded, and that carnal mind will not bow to God.
Yeah.
He said, I ain't turning it loose.
Yeah.
Well, don't then. I can't make you. I can't persuade you.
Right.
But boy, if you ever see you'll be like the man in the Pilgrim's Progress running from the city of destruction and running for the celestial city. It, you read the book, it said when he ran, he put his hands over his ears because all of his family was saying, don't go, don't go. He said, I got to go.
Amen.
And here's what Rebekah said, I've got to go.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what this is? This is nothing less than total commitment to him.
Sure. That's right, brother.
Now that's salvation.
That's salvation. That's right.
He makes a man willing.
Yeah.
Religion wants to say, well, I can hold on to everything else and I can have Jesus over here to be part of my life. Now listen, Paul said, when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, he's not a part of your life, he becomes your life.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And they sent away Rebekah, verse 59, her sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. And here he speaks the truth again. Be thou the mother of thousands, of millions. Let thy seed possess the gate of those that hate them. He didn't say seeds, he said seed.
Right.
We know who that's talking about.
Yeah.
Isaac and Rebekah had Jacob and Esau And God loved Jacob and hated Esau.
That's what it said.
And then through them, God raised up Judah. And through them, raised up David. And through them, raised up the seed of David,
right,
who sits upon that throne.
Amen.
All because this happened right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that important?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said you mean God would do all that? You mean God would send his servant all the way down there just to get her? Yeah?
Yeah.
God raises up nations.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And puts down nations.
Puts them down.
Just to save his people.
Right. Yeah. Amen, yeah, brother. Yeah. That's right, brother.
If you just get a hold of that. Because you know how unlovable you are. You
sure
know there's nothing good in you.
Yeah.
That's what makes it grace.
Yeah.
Verse 61. And Bechlel rose and her damsel, and they rode upon the camels, and they followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. You know what she's riding on? The same thing God sent to get her on.
Yeah.
Camel. Some believe it's a picture of grace. I can see it. What's going to take her through that desert, Grace?
Yeah.
What's she going to ride on, Grace? She don't have to walk.
Yeah.
You went through a desert, boy, I hadn't. And what pictures I've saw, I don't want to go through one. Literally. Now, we go through them spiritually. And that's what she's going through. Through many dangerous toils and snares we have already come, his grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will bring you
Amen.
Home. We've still never saw him with our natural eyes. We used to sing a song, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When we'll see him, we'll be like him, because we'll see him just like him.
Yeah.
We won't see him through a lattice, and we won't see him through a glass darkly.
Right.
We'll see him with undimmed eyes.
Yeah.
In the wilderness, the desert just don't matter. But I can see every night as they sit down camp. I don't know how far this was, but I can just see her sit down. She asked that servant, said, tell me one more time about it. And as you go through this weary land and you come in this place, you want that servant or whoever God's servant is and wherever you're at to tell you again about him.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And then nothing else doesn't matter.
Right. Exactly.
He owns it all.
Amen.
He's altogether lovely. And Isaac, now what's this? And Isaac came from the way of the well Lehi-roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Just picture this from the human side. Or there she's coming. He's bringing her. No doubt in his mind.
Yeah.
All for whom he redeemed, they're all coming.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
never
yeah.
lost a one.
No.
And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, and she still doesn't know who he is, she lighted off the camel and she. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master.
Yeah.
Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. You know what they are? They're united. Go back and read Revelation 19 again about the marriage of the Lamb.
Amen.
That's what we're waiting on.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
When we see him.
Yeah.
He's going to find his people, his sheep, his bride. He's going to bring them. He's going to send them a preacher. He's going to send them a servant.
Yeah.
That's going to tell you about him. And he's never been without a witness.
Yeah.
What a gospel.
Yes, yeah.
What a Lord. What a master.
Mm-hmm.
What an honor to be able to tell you about Him.
Yeah.
I don't know of any bad, if you want to call it a job, whatever it is. Position, what? I don't know of anything higher. Do you?
No.
Honor? What an honor. He chose the foolish things of the world. He describes us as an empty trumpet. A treasure in an earthen vessel. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of Him. Not of us. What a blessing. What a joy. Amen.
That was the gospel. That was the gospel. With all the other appendages of it to go with it, with everything else. I mean, the gospel is a finished work.
Yes, sir.
But that gospel also reveals that God is going